And we welcome you back to the Midday Party with Rick and John from the Kia Studios. It is time for Around the 404 and time for Match Day.
Checking up on the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United.
Listen up.
Let's go Around the 404 with Rick and John.
Because Atlanta United balls tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game against Charleston Battery as the U.S. Open Cup gets underway. The pregame show at 7 and the kickoff at 7:30. Mike Conti, Jason Longshore will bring you the action. Jason Longshore will be on with us at 1 o'clock, his weekly Wednesday at 1 interview, and we look forward to that. We will talk Atlanta United in this segment, but in just a little bit. John mentioned before the break, Julio and Julio. Well, we have one who is not at voluntary OTAs, and we have another one who has now been put on the disabled list with a right thumb contusion. And I want to make this point about Julio Teheran. I want a rehab assignment from Julio Teheran. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's not a big deal and he misses a start and then he's eligible to come off the disabled list, I need him to go down to AAA and pitch.
Right.
And I need to see his fastball velocity in AAA. Mm-hmm. And if he's throwing 85, 86, 80, I can't bring him up. He's going to pitch batting practice. So it's going to hurt the Braves, and it's going to hurt him and his confidence and everything. So and maybe this is like outlandish and radical, but I would like to see, when that right thumb is healthy, a rehab assignment. So it's almost, John, it's like 50-50. It's like 50% rehab, mm-hmm, and 50%. I need to see if you're ready to pitch major league ball, because he was not the other night.
He wasn't. And what's interesting with that, and we just asked Grant McCauley about this, I said, what do you do to regain some of that zip on the fastball? And he said, I don't know. And, you know, Grant won't get into the speculation. And I wonder, is it a tired arm? Is it a little bit of overwork? Is it, you know, you'd hate to see that in early June, but guys deal with that from time to time and they need some time off. I'm with you. Get him back and let him get a start just to see if he can get something working that was there. You've got enough starting pitchers between AAA and what's up with the big league club, including guys like Gahara and Whistler and others that can get spot starts if you need. Let him take his time to get back. You're playing good enough ball that you won't have to have a scenario where you're looking at rushing Julio Teheran back and worrying about it hurting what's going on.
So it'll be faulty today. And then over the weekend, it will be on Friday. I'm looking for my notes here. Darn it, where are they? Friday will be McCarthy. Saturday will be Sanchez. Sunday, it's undecided, I believe, unless they've made a decision while we've been on the air here. But it looks like maybe Newcomb on Sunday. And, John, that would fit with days of rest, right? Newcomb went last night, Tuesday night, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right, is 4 days of rest. I would presume that he would be the starting pitcher for our beloved Atlanta Braves on Sunday. But Soroka is a possibility if he can get right and get off the DL. And it says here, AJC one day ago, Soroka likely to make two more rehab starts. So they're not necessarily loving what they're seeing from him. But, John, here's what I would do in terms of Luis Gohara. Because Julio is out, I'm getting Gohara in that rotation. You with me?
I am, too. I have no problem with having Luis Gohara in the rotation. I want to see what he can do as a starter more than the one spot start that he already had. Let him get out there and go in the rotation two or three turns through. You obviously need somebody to start for Julio Teheran potentially Saturday. I think that's when his next start is scheduled to be, Saturday or Sunday.
I'm not sure about that, John, but it'll be McCarthy, Sanchez, and maybe Newcomb Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. So you'd go Newcomb on a...
It'd be 4 days of rest.
Okay. All right, so you were going to just skip then Julio Teheran where his start would be.
Mm-hmm.
I would slide in, instead of moving a guy up on short rest, I would slide up Luis Gohara and let him start that game. And then get the next start in the regular turn in the rotation where Julio Teheran would be and see what he's got.
I'm not mad at that, because our Braves are at the Dodgers over the weekend. Chavez Ravine, as you all know, has historically been a very friendly pitcher park.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, you've had hitters do their thing there, but I mean, from Hershiser to Valenzuela to even like road pitchers going in there, it's just a pitcher-friendly environment, kind of right, like Petco in San Diego. So to me, and the Dodgers are getting hot, okay? They put, I think, 5 on Pittsburgh yesterday. Kemp's hitting, Puig's hitting now, all this kind of stuff. So, but in terms of Gohara, I like that. You're on the road. It's not the best hitting lineup in the world.
Right.
And you're at Chavez Ravine. Let's flush away the 6 earned and 2/3 the other night, you know, and let's get him out there. I think that's a favorable matchup, actually, for Gohara.
Yeah, and I'd love to see him get that opportunity to do so. We'll see what the Braves have planned, who ends up being that guy to fill in. You know, does Julio Teheran just miss a start and maybe two and come right back, as Grant sort of alluded to a little bit a while ago? I don't know that he's going to get a rehab start. I think it's going to be as soon as the thumb is okay and the grip is okay, he's going to be right back with the Braves gripping and ripping.
Like I said, I mean, my idea to have him have a rehab start or two to check on the velocity of his fastball is probably radical, probably unrealistic, mm-hmm. but that's the way I'd roll.
Right. Yeah, I have no problem with that at all. Hey, elsewhere, speaking of Julio, we had the drama, and we'll play some sound now from Dan Quinn earlier on. It's Dan Quinn talking about mandatory minicamp, which hasn't happened yet, but is coming up next Tuesday.
No change. I've certainly been in contact with Hu. He's doing great and, you know, really fit, really strong. So it's nice to know he's healthy and strong as he's been in a long time. So as a coach, that makes me very happy. You know, we haven't discussed that all the way through, but as far as, you know, my end goes, no change from my end of things that we discussed from earlier this spring.
You know what I like hearing there, as we go back to the first soundbite, thank you, Mark, it was Julio is as healthy and strong as he's been in a long time. Now, I don't know if by long time, DQ's talking about a year and a half, like going back to the, what would it be, the 2016 offseason, because obviously the 2017 offseason was spent rehabbing that toe. But what had me and John talking, and obviously John and Hugh on the morning show this morning, was that last part, where Dan Quinn sounded a little dubious as to whether Julio Jones would be at mandatory minicamp next week. Mm-hmm. And John agreed with me that it kind of leaves the door open a little bit that Julio might not be there. Now, it's widely reported that the expectation is that Julio Jones will be at mandatory minicamp next week. But then when you hear Dan Quinn kind of sort of not know and say, we haven't really, you know, figured that out at this point, I don't know. It lets me know, John, that Julio Jones might not be at minicamp next week. And the keywords are might not be.
I still have zero concern of Julio Jones being there or not. Now, again, I've said this earlier today, and I'll say it again. If come Tuesday, practice reports come out and they go, Julio Jones is not here, Houston, then we have a problem. Then I will be salty.
What if, let's back it up a little bit. It's around the 404. Your boys Rick and John chopping it up. Let's back it up a little bit. What if Julio Jones is not in the state of Georgia on Monday?
I don't care.
What do you mean? What, are you going to parachute in on Tuesday? He's got to be up at Flowery Branch getting ready to sweat on Tuesday.
Last I checked, Delta has flights that land in and out of here all the time. I checked, Alabama's only about a 3-hour drive if he's over in Tuscaloosa.
Nah,
he can jump in the new Kia Stinger and whoom, on up here.
I'm going to need you here the day before. Let's get your mind right, Julio. So I'm just saying, like, if we don't get in TMZ Atlanta, hi, Rick Kamla, John Michaels, we're friendly. We're friendly guys. If TMZ, they have like an Atlanta hookup from TMZ, right?
Right.
They do, right?
Yeah, they do.
The sports TMZ Atlanta,
yeah.
Right? Okay. If they don't have somebody waiting at the airport for Julio Jones, they're not doing their jobs. Like, it should be like you're waiting out, you know, overnight for concert tickets outside the Fox Theater. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Walking, stalking, looking, judging. You know what I'm saying? But no, that would be when Julio gets in town. Okay, he's showing up for mandatory minicamp. Boom, here we go. But if he's not arriving, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I mean, he could be staying at a hotel. It's not like they don't stay at the campus for mandatory minicamp. Now, training camp, they'll have the guys there. Mandatory minicamp, I think, because most of them are living in town, I think the rookies are still at Arthur Blank's facility. I think everybody else just kind of comes and goes as they please. So if Julio's out on the town, or if Julio's, I don't care, if Julio's in LaGrange or if he's in Chattanooga, doesn't make a difference to me. Just when practice starts at whatever time it may be, 11 o'clock, I want to see 11 out there.
All right, so, and what I want to see is all the smiling faces that make us who we are. We're nothing without you guys and girls. We want to see you next Wednesday at Flowery Branch. We're all going to be sweating together and having a blast. Bro hugs, pictures, autographs, the whole thing. So next Wednesday, the practice is open to the public. Mandatory mini camp. And so, look, Here's the thing. It's mandatory for Julio to be there.
Right.
It's not mandatory for the fans to be there. It's purely voluntary. But what a great way to spend a June afternoon with your boys, and Dukes and Bell will be out there as well.
Yeah, and minicamp does start Tuesday. It's Tuesday through Thursday. It's a three-day session, 12th, 13th, and 14th, but the only day open to the public is on that Tuesday.
By the way, how cool is that for the Falcons to do that?
Here's what I read on Falcons.com. Practice open to the public with free admission at 2:30. So I believe practice starts at 2:30. Gates open at 1:30. We'll be out there just doing our thing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I like going up there. It's a nice, casual, easy, breezy ride to work for me and you, John, being on the right side of things, the east side of things. John in Lawrenceville, me in Snellville.
We could do three shows a week from Flowery Branch.
I like going up to Flowery Branch. And
Preacher Man's going, hell no.
We're going to, you know, the heartbeat of it. We're going to the Mecca, right? I mean, that's where our Falcons headquarters
are. Let me ask you, Paul. During school time, would you rather go to Flowery Branch or drive to downtown?
I would probably actually drive to Flowery Branch and come down here.
Yeah, you just zip across.
There's some back roads that I could take if I plug in Waze, and it's very easy.
It's
pretty much the same time distance, but not as clogged.
Yeah. And I can totally relate with the Preacher Man. I used to live in Roswell. I took 400 south down to the city. Everybody who has to drive 400 south, you know, from about 7 a.m. to about 9:30 a.m., I feel your pain.
Oh, by the way, and I got to put this picture up on Twitter, and we'll give you the code word in just a second. Look at this great traffic on Peachtree this morning. These two jack wagons who decided at the last second they needed to make a left turn that clogs up the middle lane of Peachtree. Look at the two cars in front of me.
That's smooth.
Yeah, that's awesome. Half your rear end sticking in another lane, and the car in front of them has half their rear end sticking in another lane.
Like Charity and I like to talk about, those people think they're the only people in the world.
Yeah. Idiots. Let's try to give you the right code word this hour. Give away $1,000.
It's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Fingers crossed that the code word is... Palm this hour. Palm. P-A-L-M is the code word. You text that to 72881.
Are we sure?
I hope.
Are we sure it's palm?
Preacher Man, like a palm tree
and
whistling in the wind.
And it's not psalm. It's palm.
No, it's
P-A-L-M.
Palm.
Okay.
It's not Pam. P-A-N or P-A-L-M, like palm. It's P-A-L-M. Palm is the code word. 72881 is the number. You text it till 59 past the hour to text palm to 72881. That's your chance to win $1,000.
Oh, John,
They're
raving about one Calvin Ridley at Falcon practices.
Okay.
The headline reads, Atlanta Falcons teammates, coaches, impressed by rookie Calvin Ridley. You know, John, that yesterday he caught a long TD from Kirk Benkert. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
I'm just fooling around. But no, he really is balling, and everybody is speaking very, very highly of him. According to teammates like Desmond Trufant, Ridley is excelling at OTAs. Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn has liked what he has seen as well, saying Des may say he sees polished. I probably see explosive, Dan Quinn said. I see a really aggressive player who's really going for it in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
That is so Dan Quinn to say it that way, isn't it? He says, I don't know if I would say polished yet, but I would say he's definitely farther along than most.
Mm-hmm.
So, I could go on and on and on. It's play after play. They've been raving about him, John, since day one, since the day he got up there to Flowery Branch.
And that's what you love to see, a guy that's coming in and making an impact. And when you draft a guy number one overall and your offense fell to 15th in the league and you scored about 9 points a game less, you want that kind of explosive player to come in there.
Can you believe Carolina took DJ Moore over Calvin Ridley?
I cannot.
I'm not hating on DJ Moore at all. First round guy. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Ridley, to me, is next level. He really is. You know what? As you move us along here, I'm just going to do a quick DJ Moore search and see if they are raving about DJ Moore at Panthers practice like they are Calvin Ridley here at Falcons practice.
Well, the Hawks, some stuff going on with them. Landry Shamet, a guy that Rick Kamla really likes, working out with the Hawks. And Mark Owen's got some sound back there of Landry Shamet.
Actually, John, I'm sorry about this.
Okay,
we tried to find the... So here's what's up, just full transparency. Do you know when you hit, and John taught me how to do this on Twitter, you're scrolling through, you like it, and it goes into your like category.
Yep.
And then I sit down with MO before every show, and I go, hey, I like this Landry Shamet sound I got. Well, does this happen to you where sometimes you like something on Twitter and it doesn't go to your likes?
Not normally.
So, but that's what happened here. We were going to play some Landry Shamet sound, but we won't. But, John, I do have this.
Okay.
Villanova big man Omari Spellman is here in Atlanta right now.
Oh, nice.
Maybe not right now, but today, pre-draft workout. I also read in terms of our Hawks that they're going to bring in very soon Jaren Jackson Jr. and Marvin Bagley III for pre-draft workouts. Those will be on an individual basis. You know, they've been doing these six-man workouts with these prospects, and some of them are going to go in the draft, and some of them aren't. Mm-hmm. But Yante Mayton was one of them yesterday, filling in for Mo Wagner. But I'm just fascinated by this, dude. The draft is a little over 2 weeks away.
Two weeks?
Wow. Our Hawks go 3-19-30-34. I mean, we are going to be one of the busiest, most active teams in the NBA that
night. And
then night.
Free agency starts, what, July 5th maybe?
Something like that, yeah. Okay. There's a moratorium period.
It's like five
days. Don't forget about that moratorium
period. Well, it used to be 10 days, and you'd have all that tampery nonsense. Now it's just 4 or 5 days.
By the way, there is an article here on DJ Moore. It says that James Bradberry impressed early on with DJ Moore. So there you go. But I'd rather have Calvin Ridley.
For everybody asking, yes, Palm was not the code word in the 11 o'clock hour, but it was this hour. So text Palm right now to 72881. We NFL bounce it next. The Falcons look like they're going to have an MVP candidate to play against in the opener. We'll talk about that next.
Game. We have breaking news on Carson Wentz. John told you that our Falcons are most likely going to be playing against an MVP candidate in week one up in Philly on that Thursday night when the NFL kicks off for real. And Adam Schefter, actually, let me read you this first. This is literally like 17 minutes old. At Wednesday's offseason team activity practice, Wentz increased his workload after being cleared for 7-on-7 drills, a step up from previous weeks where he was mostly participating in low-stress individual throwing drills. You also have a report on Bleacher Report. And let me read you the headline. It says Carson Wentz reportedly expected to be ready for week one after knee injury. Adam Schefter of ESPN said on Tuesday he is starting to believe that Wentz is going to be ready for the opener based on what he is hearing. That isn't the first time we've heard a plugged-in scribe say that about Wentz. I have maintained the entire offseason that he's going to be the Eagles quarterback week one. That's why I said the Eagles needed to trade Nick Foles as soon as the Super Bowl was over. But nevertheless, Carson Wentz most likely, John, will be facing our beloved Atlanta Falcons week one.
Not much of a surprise. I know it's kind of gone back and forth whether Carson Wentz would be the starter or not be the starter in week number one. If he's already working in full and doing 7-on-7 stuff this time of the year, he's going to be ready coming up in a couple of, 2 months from now, 2.5 months from now to get ready for the regular season. All right, Falcons, you know what's in front of you week number one against Philadelphia. They're going to be full bore. They're going to be celebrating a Super Bowl. They're going to be at full throat in that stadium. Go out there on Thursday night and shut them up like Kansas City did to New England a year ago.
Whew, I like the way you think, John. Check it out. We like to say that Carson Wentz might have won MVP last year.
Mm-hmm.
He would have won MVP had he not gotten hurt.
Right.
Guys and girls, he had 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions with almost 3,300 yards in 13 games. So he would have had 2+ games left. Now, the Eagles were so good, right, that Nick Foles barely had to play in that Week 17 game. They were kind of in rest mode at that point. So Wentz might have gotten... He would have gotten 2 full games
right
on top of that. But those numbers, touchdown-wise, would have been way better than Tom Brady. I think Brady had 31 or 32 touchdowns. Like I said, Wentz had 33 in like 2.5 or 3 fewer games. So,
right.
And they were 13-3 on the season. Wentz was on track, not to be the MVP runner-up. He was on track
He's
to
win
the
MVP.
Award.
No doubt. Did you see what happened over the weekend to a Jets rookie? Tight end, Chris Herndon. Not good.
I did see that.
Yeah, not good for him. Arrested for DWI. Apparently crashed his car into somebody that was 70-plus years old. And now a guy that's dealing with, obviously, that situation. Chris is lucky because the guy was not seriously hurt, just walked away with a couple of crashes. But the gentleman's car was totaled. Not what you want to see. Chris Herndon, obviously a Norcross product, played at Norcross High School. And he afterwards said, quote, "This is not who I am." Well, this is just called bad decisions before you get your career underway.
I mean, we don't know what you are. That's the point to this, John. You're a rook. You haven't even played a game yet. Mm-hmm. And we know that you were a real solid tight end for Miami. We know that Miami is tight end you. They just sent Njoku to the league. You got Shockey and Greg Olsen and all these guys. This is not how you get it started, man. This is not how you get it popping off to get a DWI. I mean, I hope that the person that was smacked in the accident is okay.
He is. Albert Elliott was the guy's name, 76-year-old. Herndon crashed his SUV into an SUV of this gentleman, 4:45 in the morning. Elliott had bruises and cuts on his arm. Herndon was not injured. He said, "I feel like I'm fine." Does Herndon? He said, "I don't feel too bad right now. I'm just dealing with everything and trying to stay focused. I've been trying to keep my focus, trying not to focus on the arrest, just trying to focus on as much as I can."
Well, look, I'm not going to condemn the kid. Like I say, it's a party foul. It's his first violation. Nobody got hurt. So I can live with this. I can work with this. Now, if it happens again, it's a different conversation. But in terms of saying it's not who I am, maybe it's not.
I know.
But to outside observers, like, this is what you've given. Think about up in the Northeast, New Jersey, you know, New York City. Think about the radio up there. They go in.
They go ham.
They go all the way in, mm-hmm. Okay? Like, John and I, we try to keep it as light and bouncy and fun as possible. They don't try to do that in the Northeast, okay? They just go in on guys. So I bet you Chris Herndon is kind of facing the music on Sports Talk Radio up there.
Well, and here's the only thing I'll disagree with you on, Rick. Party foul, you know, you get a DUI and it's just you falling asleep at the wheel, something like that. Okay, it's terrible. When you're in an accident that involves somebody else, now it's passed to me just party foul. And I'm not saying fire the kid, kick him off the team, nothing like that. But that's when it's, all right, bro, we got some serious problems here, that at 4:45 you're crashing your car in the morning. And it could have been a hell of a lot worse.
I mean, I don't disagree with your breakdown right there. I mean, it is, it's running significantly afoul of the law. Mm-hmm. And so there's that. But like I said, I'm not going to just say this guy is trash and throw him out with the bathwater because, you know, he's a young rook doing his thing and he got a DWI. You know, I assume he will learn from this mistake and get better and just, you know, thank God that nobody got hurt in the incident.
Elsewhere, did you see Terrell Owens apparently at 44 trying to potentially make a comeback with the San Francisco 49ers?
So, I mean, look, the headline's provocative. Terrell Owens' eyes come back with Niners. That's what it says on NFL.com. Is he really? He's 44. He sends out this tweet. "Thanks. I know Jimmy G is going to need a big play receiver this year at some point. Let's make it happen. Hashtag stay ready. Hashtag vet men." And so he's putting it out there. Do you think Kyle Shanahan wants Terrell Owens?
They're not signing Dez Bryant.
The any of that. I mean, think he wants that?
No, they're not signing Dez Bryant.
He's 44, exactly. John. 44, not 34. He's 44 years old.
What did he do at the end of his career? I got to go back and look. But didn't he fall off pretty hard?
He did, but man, let me just say this right now, Terrell Owens. Thank you for the fantasy goodies all those years.
Here's what's
this
crazy.
Is one of the most automatic touchdown scores the league has ever seen.
Here's what's crazy. He didn't really fall off. Listen to these numbers at the end of Terrell Owens' career. I'll go from 35 years old with Dallas, 69 catches, 1052, and 10 scores.
That was his last year?
No, 36. He played for Buffalo. He had 55 catches, 829, and 5 scores. And his last year in the league, did you know he played with the Cincinnati Bengals? 72 catches, 983 yards, and 9 touchdowns at 37 years old.
Damn. That was his last year?
That was his last year.
T.O.
He never fell off. Like, he had one year with Philly where he was injured, and he had 47 for 763. But, dude, that guy didn't fall. He might still be in shape to play football.
I mean, there's a picture of him right here, John. It looks like he's snacking on nails. It looks like he's got a 0.001% body fat. Now, he looks great. I mean, T.O.'s a freak. He's one of the all-time NFL freaks. You can put him up there with Rice, Moss, Peyton, Barry.
Your guy,
you know,
David
he's
Boston.
A freak. He's
Brian, an absolute Brian Urlacher.
Check this out. We always love feel-good stories about Deshaun Watson as we continue in the NFL bounce on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Check out what Bill O'Brien had to say about Deshaun. Quote, he's in the building every morning at 6 a.m. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's there with Debo and Rico, but anyway, Bill O'Brien continues. He's taking care of his body. He's eating correctly. He's in the meetings. He's focused in the meetings. He's ready to go. He has good ideas. There's good interaction in the meetings, and he's come out here on the field and been able to do what he can do. Obviously, training camp will be a big period of time for all of us, especially for he and I moving forward, getting into 11-on-11 full pads, but he's had a good spring. Mm-hmm. That sounds like the Deshaun Watson we know. First to show up, yep. Last to leave, engaged, and just an awesome dude.
Yeah, and he's a guy that potentially could have Houston back in that mix for a playoff team this year. If he doesn't get hurt, they're in the playoffs a year ago, and Tennessee or Jacksonville may have been on the outside looking in. He is the missing ingredient for them. I mean, think of some of the guys that they were trotting out there last year. Tom Savage.
Yeah.
Who else played for them?
I can't remember.
Did T.J. Yates get snaps for them last year?
He did, and I think he got his head blown up. I think he got roughed up.
Uh-huh.
I'll put it that way.
Okay.
In terms of the NFL bounce, we continue here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John, I'm here to tell you that there may already be trouble in paradise, a.k.a. Cleveland.
Uh-oh.
Can I read this to you?
Please do.
All right, so we're talking about Baker Mayfield and Hugh Jackson. How many wins does Hugh Jackson have as Browns coach?
Carry the one. Oh, no, you can't even carry the one because he's only had one.
One and what?
31.
Oh, my God. All right, so check this out. We know, and we documented this, Hugh Jackson has said, I don't want a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. They want a vet. They want to win some games. Okay, so they're going with Tyrod Taylor. It doesn't sound like Baker Mayfield's really happy with this arrangement. Pat McManaman of ESPN says Mayfield's self-assessment with regards to his progress with the team does not align with that of Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. Jackson said Tuesday, I think he's right on schedule. Mayfield said, the pace has been a little slower than I've really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get something else here. Baker Mayfield says, I have to be ready for whenever that opportunity comes. If that's this year, next year, or in 5 years, boy, does he sound put out and salty. He continues to say, I have to be ready as soon as that comes. And right now, getting better every day, that's all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Baker, I would encourage you to pump the brakes a little bit. You just got there. Let the process play out. But, John, he sounds like a frustrated guy, and it's probably because he's not only behind Tyrod Taylor, he's behind Drew Stanton as well. Baker's third on the depth chart, and he's the first pick in the draft.
I can understand if he was behind Giancarlo Stanton, but Drew Stanton, no thanks. Like, dude, come on. It's Drew Stanton. Drew Stanton sucks. Well, he's a pretty... He's a mediocre quarterback at best.
So is Hugh Jackson, like, is this, a power play is the wrong word, but is this sort of Hugh Jackson, like, going old school and hard nose with him, and you got to earn it, putting him below Drew Stanton, like, is that what that's about? Is
yes,
Rook, you got to earn it kind of thing?
It's OTAs. Depth chart today really doesn't matter.
But it sounds like it does. It sounds like Baker is in his feelings about it.
I'm saying to us, it doesn't really matter. To Baker Mayfield, it may, because he's thinking, all right, I'm the number one pick. I'm walking in. I'm going to get a chance to be the starter.
And is Baker Mayfield, John, getting less reps because he's third on the depth chart?
Probably a little bit.
So he's probably salty about that. I'm just saying, this is something we're going to have to monitor here. Hugh Jackson, the Baker Mayfield.
Preacher Man coming up next with From the Bible.
All right, U.S. Open's coming up soon. If you don't have a place to stay, maybe you can bunk with Tiger.
Here we go. Preacher Man's time to shine, baby. And we are counting down to the match tonight. Atlanta United, Charleston Battery out there, Kennesaw State. Pregame at 7 and the kick at 7:30. So, Preacher Man, they're going to be doing their thing in the parking lot out there, the tailgates, maybe doing a shot, maybe having a beer and going in and making a bunch of noise. And hopefully we can beat Charleston, man.
Definitely looking for a win tonight, so hopefully they can pull that off. From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770, the number 4-FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. John, you all right? You got a little food in the mouth there? You still
a little
lunch?
Bit. Trying to eat a taco salad.
Really? Taco salad?
Yeah.
M.O. had some pasta.
Mm-hmm. With cheese.
Street underboss is in there eating some food in his office. You guys are making me hungry.
Well, I'm going to go over to Top Golf and part of our golf tournament here shortly, and I'm sure there's going to be some food for me to nosh on
nice.
As well.
Perhaps. Might not be on your diet.
I really like the food at Top Golf, by the way.
It's good stuff. I've had both my kids have had birthday parties there.
I like
great
the
people.
I like the golf at Top Golf.
You know, most people who get punched by a professional athlete would probably think about suing immediately,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, according to TMZ, Kareem Hunt was at the Bay Lodging Resort in Put-in Bay, Ohio, over the weekend, where he had been partying all weekend long. There are photos of Hunt hanging out at the pool and the DJ booth. Sources say everything was fine until early Sunday morning when Hunt got into a verbal altercation with another resort guest.
Uh-oh.
We spoke with the alleged victim, who told TMZ he was punched in the face by Hunt. Hard. TMZ Sports also spoke with resort officials who confirm there was an incident involving Hunt. However, the man told TMZ he was not seriously injured and did not seek medical attention and was not going to sue, and Hunt was not arrested.
You know what that's called? That's how men used to handle men business. You get in a fight, you win some, you lose some. Now, I don't know what led to the altercation between Kareem Hunt and this gentleman. Sometimes words come to words and a guy throws a punch. But that's what happened in our generation, Paul. You'd go to the school playground, you'd get your teeth kicked in, and you'd go to school tomorrow, and they'd laugh about it.
Yep.
And maybe later on down the road, you'd get some get back against that guy. You didn't go whine and cry and file lawsuits and try to shoot people.
And then there's the other side of the coin, speaking of coin, where you look at this as an opportunity to come up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the story I told you with my Toyota Cressida?
Yeah.
Back in the day, I was about 17. I got hit head on by a drunk driver.
And you had spinners on the Cressida.
And so anyway, like, I wasn't hurt. He wasn't hurt. He was a drunk driver. He fell asleep at the wheel and like veered over into my lane. And I was going about 30. He was going about 5.
Mm-hmm.
Totaled my vehicle. We screwed up. My mom and I lamented for years after that, not suing that guy.
Right.
And so, like, if Kareem Hunt, like, punches me in the face, oh, I don't care how manly. We got a man law slice of life coming up here in exactly 1 hour.
Yep.
I don't care. You can call me the biggest wimp ever. I'm calling an attorney.
Yeah, I get hit by a drunk driver. I'm calling an attorney.
How about if you get hit by Kareem Hunt? Are you calling an attorney?
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
I'm swinging right back. Period. You punch me, I'm swinging.
You can swing back, but as long as he threw the first punch, you can still
bingo.
Swing.
Here's the thing. I may take a loss, but I'm not just getting punked. I'm not just taking a punch and you got me.
Now, I don't advocate this for everybody, but I tell my children you cannot hit first, but
no.
I expect you to finish it.
Yeah, you hit last.
And if there's a problem, I'll take care of it after that.
I have the exact same advice for my guys. Don't swing first, but then if they hit
you
first, you got to defend yourself.
It's fair game.
Yep,
oh,
fair
yeah,
game.
Absolutely.
My dad always told me just run screaming, stranger danger.
That was the title of an album by Luke Bryan.
With your arms in the air as you run away?
Doing this.
I don't know if y'all saw this last night. A female San Diego Padres fan snagged herself a souvenir and celebrated in the best possible way. The woman identified by MLB.com was Gabby DeMarco. She snagged a foul ball in her beer cup and then proceeded to drink the beer like a champ.
Dude, that is awesome. Like, you, first of all, to catch the beer in the beer cup takes a lot of coordination anyway. She left the ball in the cup when she chugged the beer. It just went kloop, and she went, and that was it.
She's pretty attractive, too. I got to be honest with
it's
you.
San Diego, they're all attractive.
She's got long black hair, got some curves, looks a very attractive woman, and she downs that beer, man. And it kind of was spilling out on her face, like out around the cup a little bit. Like, she went for it, man. Kind of like the Tennessee Titans at the Preds game, man. Just opening their mouths and just pouring beer on in there, man.
But that was out of a catfish. That's a little bit different.
Yeah, a little different.
Good point.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be chugging beer out of catfish.
Would you drink a beer out of a goonch catfish?
No.
Like, let it trickle off the teeth? Just.
No, I'm good. I'm fine. I'll leave that up to you.
Real quick, is cider a beer?
No.
No, it's not. I agree.
No, I saw that tweet this morning. I just shook my head.
Cider, not a beer.
No.
It's not a beer. If it's a beer, it's a beer. It's
right.
Cider.
It's not a beer.
Right?
No, because when I lived in Europe, cider was, you know, was served to children like myself.
And let's bring this annoying thing back. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, it's not.
No.
All right, so
I agree. Hot dog is not a sandwich. It's a hot dog.
Follow-up story. Apparently, Glenn Big Baby Davis has been formally charged with felony assault stemming from his alleged violent altercation in April. And if convicted, he faces up to 7 years in prison.
Aye, aye, aye.
The 32-year-old ex-NBA player was arrested last month after prosecutors say he beat the living hell out of a man outside a West Hollywood nightclub. The alleged victim was hospitalized with several major injuries, including facial fractures, a broken tooth, and broken ribs.
Ooh.
A rep for the L.A. County District Attorney's Office tells us the official charge is felony assault with force, likely to cause great bodily injury, and it carries, as I said, 7-year prison sentence.
Seven. Which means he'll probably get
three and a half
probation.
No, I think Big Baby's going to jail.
You think so?
I do. Wasn't he already on probation, Preacher Man?
I don't think so.
I don't know. He's had a few altercations.
No, he got busted. Remember, he was allegedly like selling weed out of a Hampton Inn or something.
Well, you just
right?
said allegedly.
Allegedly.
So I don't think that ever came. Anything came about that.
Aha. So we can do the 1+1, but right. The authorities have to actually have the one. Okay, I get it. But my point is, this dude is spiraling out of control. Kevin Garnett, where are you to reel in your boy, Big Baby?
By the way, Wendy just sent me a text. She goes, you guys know I can hear you.
Yes,
cider
we know.
Cider is a beer to
we know
me.
You can hear us.
Shout out to Wendy, man. We love Wendy.
Our antenna stretches a long way, although Wendy doesn't live far from here. So.
Or what's right? Anyway.
Our antenna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The signal. Stick.
Yeah. Now, you went with shtick. I just went with antenna. I was trying to keep it PG.
Why?
Wrong show.
You too.
Wrong show
yeah, exactly.
For that. I'm sorry.
We got Long Shoe coming up next.
It's probably the wrong station for that because there's not a whole lot PG on this station.
All right. Well, Tiger Woods is coming off a solid performance at the Memorial Tournament last weekend where he actually finished tied for 23rd. However, he had climbed up to a tie for first place at one point. Now, he is gearing up for the second major of the year, which is next week. It's going to be the U.S. Open. That's going to be in Shinnecock. What does Tiger do? Tiger brings his 155-foot, $20 million yacht named Privacy
what?
And parks it in the Montauk Yacht Club in the Hamptons. And that is where he will be staying through the tournament. So if you need a bunk, that's why I said if you got a bunk up,
boy,
I think he's
nice.
Got plenty of room.
Yeah, I got a feeling that if you walked up, hey, Tiger. Hotels are a little limited here. Can I jump on in there?
And if you're a blonde, he's letting you right in.
Well, yeah. I was gonna say, if you're one of us, you're getting hit by security.
How much does his yacht cost?
20 mil.
Oh, my God. You know what? You know why he's doing that?
Because he's Tiger Woods.
It's the life is good thing. I'm going to try to win this tournament, and if I don't, I'm going to go get on my Yakuta and just sail off while you bleepity bleeps get your Beamer or your Benz and drive off. Which is probably pretty good living, too.
Yeah, it's not too bad if you can get it. All right, so apparently Jose Ramirez was asked by Zach Measle of the Athletic, if he would like to compete in next month's Home Run Derby.
Okay.
Ramirez said, yes, I would do it. I want to do it. I've wanted to do it. If they put me there, I will win it.
Okay.
Now, he hit 29 home runs for the Indians in 2017, is now tied for third in the league with 18 in just 57 games so far this season.
I like guys that want to go out and do the home run derby. Go for it. Why not? Now, there are folks who will say it ruins your swing. You're trying to do different things. If you're a home run hitter, you're a home run hitter.
Here's the thing. I don't recommend this. And Preacher Man, literally, he just hit another home run. He's now, since the article came out, he's up to 19. He is second in Major League Baseball. Tied with Mike Trout with 19. J.D. Martinez of Boston has 20. Here's the thing. Jose Ramirez last year went crazy with the home runs. He's going even crazier with the home runs this year. It's probably launch angle, something like that. But Jose Ramirez is a contact hitter. He's a 300 hitter. So if he's just swinging from the heels, he could really jack up his swing, for real. I would not advise Jose Ramirez in the home run derby.
All right. As we know, this is the time for research material. Johnny Michaels, we're going to do two today. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to double it up.
Okay, so for me, because it's hump day, we're going to go with uni booties. It's UNI booties. It's very simple.
I think there's parents that buy those for their kids. Uni booties. That's the first one?
I mean, it's booties
That's
galore, by the way.
All right, here's the second one.
Boom.
The girl that caught the home run from the San Diego Padres game. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line has given us her Instagram page at Gabby Lucille, GABBYLUCILLE. You're welcome.
Gabby Lucille.
Yeah, Gabby Lucille. That's all coming up next.
Right.
Hey, we take a break. We come back. Jason Longshore, is he here or is he in Kennesaw already? I don't know where he's at. Oh, he's here. Tate's telling us he's right out there. So Jason Longshore will join us in studio. We'll talk to him about the win over Philadelphia, the roof being open, and the Charleston battery. All next. Sports Radio 92.9. The game.
That was me a day or two ago talking about my former team, the Minnesota Vikings. They're dead to me. But we are alive and well in the Kia studios. Hello, Rick Kamla, John Michaels, and we got a match tonight. Yes, it's match day. Atlanta United and the Charleston Battery, the U.S. Open Cup, gets underway for our squad, the Five Stripes. Pre-game at 7 and the kick at 7:30. And in just a moment, we're going to welcome in Jason Longshore. He is the radio analyst for Atlanta United. But, John, going on right now at Top Golf. It's a very big event.
Yeah, it's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Grady Jarrett's Rockin' Jock Celebrity Golf Outing. It's going on today starting at 2 o'clock. I know registration begins in like 35 seconds. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Peach State Health Plan, Chef Jerome A. Little, and Renewal by Anderson. Also a big thanks to the Falcons, Atlanta United, Atlanta Hawks, Grill Dome, PTS Promotional, and Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa for donating some really cool gifts. I'm actually leaving right now, so I'll see you guys later.
What are you talking about? But you're still here.
Yeah, but I'm about to walk out. I got to go play golf.
Why?
I don't know. I got golf. You know.
Why don't you leave at 2?
Huh?
They're paying you to 2.
I have a salary. I don't know that it's
3, 2, 1. Here comes Sean Thompson.
Sean's not listening. He's actually got on. And I was making fun of him and John Fricke this morning. They've all got their college shirts on. And we're going to Top Golf. I'm in station gear, T-shirt, comfortable shorts, tennis shoes. Jason, at Top Golf, do you think you should be wearing full golf attire like Tiger Woods?
You can do either. That's the thing about Top Golf that's so great about it is you can go, you can carry your bag, you can be ready to get some like good practice in. If you want to go that route, you can go and have a good time. That's what I love about Top Golf.
Jason Longshore joining your boys Rick and John. And Jason, it was another fabulous time at the Benz on Saturday night. Shout out to the Faction Tailgate for getting us right before the match. I still can't believe that the two Philadelphia players lost their ish like that. I don't know if I've seen, like, sometimes in tennis, you see the calls aren't going, and you just see a tennis player melt. I saw two soccer players melt, and they gave us the match. Jason, have you ever seen anything like that in MLS before?
I can't think of anything to compare it to. I mean, maybe those guys were upset they weren't on the guest list at the Faction Tailgate. Maybe that's what it was, because Bedoya had a yellow before. He comes into that situation. The penalty goes against them. I think the penalty was the right call. I've seen people try to justify that Trusty got a very slight touch on the ball. Look, there's something that people have to understand. Getting the ball doesn't mean you have diplomatic immunity to clean a player out. And Trusty might have gotten a very slight touch on the ball. I don't think he did, but he went through the back of Joseph Martinez. It's a foul. It's a penalty. It's an easy call. Bedoya is arguing it. The referee made it very clear. He pointed to his chest, which is where you keep your cards. Pointed there and said, no more. That's it. I'm done. Everybody clears out, ready to take the penalty. Bedoya steps back in. He gets the second yellow, gets sent off. I've also heard that there were some things said by Bedoya that led to him being sent off. It might have been for delaying. It might have been for things he said. We don't know yet. Looks like Philadelphia is going to appeal his red card suspension. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think it's going to go well for him. Then Harris Madunian just goes absolutely insane, right, which I've never seen anything like that. I mean, two quick yellows, probably could have been sent off. If my lip reading skills are up to par, I think he could have been sent off the first time rather than two yellows. I mean, you say a few magic words, you get an automatic red. I think he said one of the magic words. And then more extracurriculars after he's sent off. He could be suspended for quite a while.
How about Larenowicz telling our morning show that he had to step in because he feared for the ref's safety?
That's the difference here. You see sometimes a team will melt down. They're all yelling at the referee. Okay, that's one thing. When you see the opposite team step in and be like, whoa, calm down, that's when it's way over the line. And Larenowicz was really the only one who could get between the referee and Madunian.
But do you think the second yellow with the tying the shoes, was that a little bit petty? Could it have been handled differently?
No. It couldn't, because he had made it clear at that point. This arguing had gone on for a while. It wasn't going to go to a replay. If you go back and watch the video, he points at his chest, which is where you keep your yellow card, because I think Austin Trusty was still continuing to argue. He points at his chest, and he does this. He's like, no more. That's right. It. Crossing the arms, I'm done. Everybody clears out. Then Bedoya steps back in. I've heard from some people that it might not even be that he stepped back in tying his shoes. It might be what he said as he was doing it. Because if you go back and watch the video, the referee's going over there immediately, hand in pocket, going to the card.
Right.
So I don't even think it was the delay. I think he probably had something to say, and he might have said a magic word or two himself.
Jason Longshore joining your boys, Rick and John. He does so Wednesday at 1 every week, and we really look forward to this interview. We're going to talk about tonight's match. We're going to talk about Saturday's match up there in New York City against New York City FC in moments. But Joseph Martinez, another hat trick, tying the MLS record for number of hat tricks. He's barely played a full season of MLS soccer. Put this statistic, this accomplishment, into perspective.
There isn't one. I mean, there's no perspective for this. This is unheard of. 5 hat tricks in 34 league matches. That's a season. You know, he did it over a year and a half, but 34 league matches, that's if he played every game in a season. The record's 3 in one season. Joseph has that too. 31 goals in 34 matches. It's ridiculous. I mean, we've never seen anything like this.
I saw Mike sent out a tweet, something about the percentage of goals scored on penalty kicks or free kicks for Atlanta United being over 40%. Is that unusually high for a team in MLS?
Yeah, it's high right now. 8 goals on the season. I think 8 out of 30, if I remember correctly. They've had 10 penalties. They missed 2. That's on the high side. But you also have to look at the way they play. They create situations that lead to penalties or would lead to a goal or at least a shot on goal. Mm-hmm. So the aggressive way they play, the playmaking ability, they're creating 1v1 opportunities, and the defenders are late on a lot of these challenges.
No doubt about it, man. Jason Longshore helping Rick and John talk about Atlanta United. And shout out to everybody going to the match tonight at Kennesaw State. You're going to be able to hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game as the U.S. Open Cup begins. So, Jason, of course, this is going to be a blended lineup for Atlanta United with some Atlanta United 2 players. And so help us out with how that's going to look tonight. What regular starters should we be anticipating to be seen tonight?
The other wrinkle, too, is you can only have 5 international players in your Open Cup game day lineup. So Atlanta United has 9 on their roster totally, if you include some of the guys who have been loaned to Atlanta United 2. So regulars, I think you'll see one of the backup goalkeepers, either Alec Kahn or Mitch Hildebrandt. I think Brad Guzan probably gets the night off. I think you'll have one of the veteran center backs, could be Franco Escobar, could be Leandro Gonzalez Perez, pairing up with Miles Robinson, who's played a fair bit this season. I think Sal Zizo, who's a veteran but hasn't played a ton, I think he'll get the start at right back. Left back right now, it's either Mikey Ambrose or Jose Hernandez. Ambrose, you might want to rest him for New York, the way he's playing at the moment.
Right.
Kevin Kratz, I think, will play significant minutes tonight. But I think the attack will be very young. I think Romario Williams will get the start up top. I think Andrew Carlton will likely get the start. Don't be surprised if Lagos Kunga, who's been playing with ATL UTD 2, gets the start from Clarkston over on the east side of Atlanta. He has a goal of the week in USL. Great 1v1 attacker. And then the other attacker could be John Gallagher, the first-round draft pick, who's scoring goals in USL. Could be Yosef Samuel, who was called up on a short-term contract for this match. Could be Brandon Vasquez, who played a lot last year but has had some injuries this year.
How important is the U.S. Open Cup?
I think it's very important. I think it really depends on who you talk to around MLS, because you see the games last night. DC United struggled to get past North Carolina FC, goes to penalties, they get by. Philadelphia blows Richmond Kickers out. But the New England Revolution lost. They went to Louisville and lost to Louisville City, the top team in USL, with a pretty strong lineup. They didn't go all reserves. So if you're a team like Atlanta United and you want to play in CONCACAF Champions League and you want that global acclaim, you have to take the Open Cup seriously. It's your shortest route there. You win 5-6 games, you're in.
Right.
So, Jason, what do you know about Charleston Battery? What challenges and difficulties do they pose for our guys tonight?
Charleston's really interesting. They're one of the lower division teams that take this tournament extremely seriously. They're the last lower division team to make a final in 2008. They've knocked off 8 MLS teams in the tournament history. So they've knocked some teams off. They've got some scalps to their name. And they play a really different formation. It's kind of evolved as the season has gone on. They play a 3-4-3, which you don't see very often. And they do it in a little bit different way. It's very direct. They've got a large center forward, 6'5", Ian Svantesson. They can play to him. He's going to win a lot of headers and flick-ons. Atula Guerra is a Trinidad and Tobago international who scored 7 goals on the season. Charleston hasn't lost in their last 11 games right now. Their first 2 Open Cup games, they won 1-0 over South Georgia Tormenta from Statesboro. They beat Elm City Express from Connecticut 1-0. But 9 games unbeaten in USL alongside of that. They haven't lost since March.
Wow. And we're in a group with Charleston, the Miami Club, and then Orlando City as well.
It's a little different. And U.S. Soccer is always throwing tweaks to the competition as it continues to grow and get bigger. Everybody who wins in round 4, which is what we're in tonight, will go into a draw tomorrow, and they'll divide that draw geographically. So I think we'll be in that draw with Orlando, Miami winner, maybe Nashville if they get by Colorado Rapids tonight, maybe Louisville City, maybe one of the Texas teams, and then you draw in a 4-team pot by geography. So it's not a guarantee we get the winner of Orlando, Miami United.
So, and Jason, let me follow up. If it, God forbid, if Atlanta United loses tonight, is that it?
Yeah.
Are the dreams of U.S. Open Cup over?
That's it.
Okay. Well, that's so it's one and done. It's not a round robin or anything like that.
That's why a lower division team can pull off that upset. You know, it's one game, and you go up against a team that's hot, and you go up against a team that is on a good streak right now.
Hey, let's try to give away $1,000, and then we'll continue with Jason Longshore.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Tango, T-A-N-G-O. That's your code word. Text Tango right now to 72881 from your cell phone. Tango to your cell phone at 72881. You'll have till 59 past the hour to do so.
You and Urania, presumably, from time to time, would like to do the tango.
Yeah.
You're dancers.
One of the nicknames we have for Craig Carlos Valentino, because he comes out and dances constantly, is Senior Tango.
Senior Tango.
That's Senior Tango. That's
you just nickname. Called him Valentino.
Did I call him Valentino?
Yeah. Well, I like that. That's so Brazilian of you, right? To put the little extra vowel in there.
Valentino.
I like that.
Hey.
We'll see if CCV agrees. Talk to me about the pitch at Kennesaw State.
It's a great stadium. It was actually built for soccer. Originally, the Atlanta Beat, the professional women's team that played up there. Fitz Johnson, who owned that team, partnered with the university to build it, and it's worked out pretty great for Kennesaw State to be able to build their football program with it. Looks great. I mean, I've seen pictures of it from this week, and it looks like it's in great shape. It's a grass field, but it has, like, you're starting to see some grass fields that have, like, I don't know how you put it, like a lining or something that's artificial, so it just holds everything in place better. It's a little safer, a little more protected, so you're not going to have those spots where it just goes brown.
Right.
So it looks good. It's played really well. It played really well last year, even after a lot of rain that we had the delay. We didn't kick off till after 10 o'clock last year. Luckily, no rain tonight, so I think we'll be all right.
What's the crowd going to look like tonight? It seems like it's going to be insane up there.
It'll be packed. It'll be packed. Last year, it was still packed at 11 o'clock going into the second half. Still at least 6,000-7,000 up there. I think it would have been full if it hadn't had a two-hour delay. I'm expecting, you know, I think capacity's 10. I'm expecting capacity.
Now, are you heading out now to try to alleviate traffic and everything else?
Oh, I got stoppage time at 2 o'clock on the 92.9 Facebook page. So I'm doing that. That'll finish at 3, and then I'm in the car heading north.
Are you going to stop by Top Golf? Because you got to go past Howell Mill anyway.
I can't. I wish I could, because then I would be late, and then that would be very bad.
Yeah, he's got a gig, man.
I'm like the devil sitting on your shoulder.
There'll be Tito's there. You do know Tito's and Red Bull. Or Tito's and lemonade.
You know this. I know this. Jason knows this. You do not want nervous producers. Where's Jason? Where is he? He's supposed to be here now.
No, I can't freak Miller Pope out. I can't freak Miller out.
And here's the thing. I know Miller very well. My guy, I've worked with Miller for years. When it gets to that situation, Miller can get a little nervous.
I'm not going to make Miller nervous. That's my guy.
No, because he'll yell at you.
He has no shame
in yelling at you.
Yeah, he hasn't yelled at me yet. I want to keep it that way.
All right, we got to bring this up. We've talked soccer, and we always love to do lifestyle stuff. So I saw Jeff Benedict, our guy, works nights and weekends and does a great job. He tweeted out something the other day that said, any man that wears an engagement ring most likely will, and I'm paraphrasing, most likely will end up driving a minivan and we'll probably have a spouse find somebody else. What man do you, is it a man law violation to wear an engagement ring? Not your wedding ring, but an engagement ring.
I can't think of anybody I've ever known who's done that.
I didn't know they existed.
Yeah,
Jeff sent me
either.
Links of like, you can order male engagement rings.
I didn't
rings.
Know that was a thing.
Me neither.
I didn't know it was a thing either, but we're going to talk about man laws, things you can't do as a man.
Sure. You got some man laws? You have any soccer man laws? Like things as a man soccer player you can't do.
Well, you always get into the thing, and this probably crosses all sports, about wearing the jersey. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in the fan, you're in the stands, when do you have to stop wearing jerseys in the stands? I think for soccer, maybe it's a little different because you see it much more common. Kit collecting is a big thing. So, but with other sports, like if I go to a Hawks game, I'm not wearing a Hawks jersey. I'd feel kind of dumb doing
Would you
that.
Wear a Falcons jersey to a Falcons game?
I have. It's been a while. I probably wouldn't now, though, honestly.
What if I told you that I'm likely going to be attending at least two Falcons games this year? One game I'll be rocking my black Keanu Neal jersey, and another game I'll be rocking my red Tack McKinley jersey. Am I in man law violation?
No, I don't think so. But okay, here's another question to follow up.
As long as it's not tucked in, you're okay.
I'm not a tucker inner guy.
Now, personalized jerseys with players on the team.
That's okay, a man law violation.
But your own personalized jersey.
No, you cannot. You cannot wear your personalized jersey that says Kegger 69 on the jersey. You just can't.
I can't do that. I can't go there.
Yeah, if you wear that's a Julio Jones jersey, that's your deal. I'm not going to do it. I stopped wearing jerseys probably about 8-10 years ago. I just don't. I have a bunch of them. Yeah. I just don't. There's no problem. If you want to wear them to a game, that's fine. Wearing them to the mall is a man law violation.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
Okay, going to the mall is a man law violation.
Sometimes you have to, but yeah, I would agree with that. You can't wear
a Kangol hat. Where do you get your new Kangol hats?
Oh, I don't go to the mall for a Kangol.
I didn't think so.
No. There's a cool little shop downtown off of Broad Street that's got a bunch of Kangol.
That's online at jasonlongshore.com. You can order your own personalized.
I need that. Kangol, come on, I need the sponsorship.
Well, you can go to gangsterdope.com.
I've heard about this. Maybe we can go into business with GangsterDope.com and Longshoe.com and sell some Kangols. We'll be good.
We love it. Have a great call
tonight.
Thank you,
Jason.
Thank you as always, Jason. Take a break. We come back one more round. We're going to revisit some Twitter polls. We're going to talk Braves Padres. We'll even talk about the finals, and we'll hear what Rick Barry had to say about rings because they don't count. Jason, at Top Golf, do you think you should be wearing full golf attire like Tiger Weeds?
Time for one more round, and based on that comment, John does not need another round. John Michaels is cut off here in the Kia Studios. Did you mean to say Tiger Weeds?
Yes, because I was joking with Underboss, and he's dressed like Tiger Weeds today. Not Tiger Woods, because Tiger Woods can actually play golf. Sean, I'm not sure, actually can play any golf, and he said he's not going to over at our event at Top Golf.
No, why not?
It's 92.9 The Game.
Grab a stick, Jarrett. Swing it.
Rockin' Jock Celebrity Golf Outing. It goes on starting at 2 o'clock today. We got to give some special shout-outs. Sponsors have hooked us up.
Okay.
Pete State Health Plan.
Shout-out.
Our people. Chef Jerome A. Little.
Shout-out.
What up? Renewal by Anderson.
Shout-out.
Let's give a couple of more. Falcons.
Shout-out.
Hawks.
Shout-out.
United.
Shout-out.
Grill Dome. I cook on that every Sunday. Love
shout
you guys.
Out.
PTS Promotional and Bass Sound Valley Resort and Spa. They all donated some cool raffle prizes.
Shout out.
Yes. Shout out to all of them.
Love y'all, man.
It's getting late, but we're far from done. Let's order up one more round with Rick and John.
All righty then. We are going to play a cut from Rick Barry here in a moment. But, John, you mentioned revisiting Twitter polls that we have, both for the show and individually. Let me just give you I have a couple of very competitive polls up right now. Hey, now. One of them is just asking Atlanta sports fans, what are you watching? What are you most excited to watch today? Atlanta United, the Braves with Fulte on the mound, or Game 3 of the NBA Finals?
Game 3 of the NBA Finals.
It's right there.
And here's the only reason. I know people, you should be watching. Look, it's for the championship of a major sport. It's Game 3 in a championship series.
So we know that that Atlanta loves basketball, both Hawks, obviously, and the whole thing. But, John, Fulte and the Braves winning 41%. Game 3 of the finals, 39%. Still time to vote. And United in the U.S. Cup, U.S. Open Cup, pardon me, 20%. So good poll there. And then I have one. The best thing you saw last night as we bludgeoned San Diego 14-1. Freeman, Newcomb, Markakis, or Swanson. Newcomb is winning at 38%.
Who I voted
Freeman
for.
Is second at 34%. Then Swanson at 22%. And Markakis at 6%.
Preacher Man, we got a shout-out from the Twitter machine, and I'll let you handle the shout-out since you run the Rick and John 929 Twitter machine. So if anybody's ever yelling at Rick and John 929, you're yelling at Paul, mostly, and sometimes
Mark. You're not yelling at me. I just happen to read it, and then I just keep it moving because that's how I am.
Does Mark respond, or do you respond?
We both do. It depends.
Do we ever let Oren respond just for the hell of it?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. If it's passive-aggressive, it's usually from me.
If it's direct, you know it's
yeah,
from me.
From Paul.
So it's pretty easy. All right, so we got a tweet from at Captain Morgan. Love you guys.
Hey,
my
now.
Fiance and I are listening to you guys live. I wanted to say thanks for your hard work.
Thank you.
Yes, we'd love a shout out. Ha ha ha. Zach and Morgan.
Well, Zach and Morgan,
Zach
shout
and Morgan.
Out.
Shout
congratulations
out.
On the soon to be wedding. Real quick, and I'm glad you brought up Zach. To our boy Zach Krantz down in Miami, WQAM, Intercom family down there. He's been on our show a ton. His son had been in the hospital for 236 days. I guess he was born premature, I believe, and had some complications, but spent 236 days in the hospital. He was released today.
Oh my God.
So to our guy Zach Krantz, prayers with your family. You know, your family to us up here.
God bless, man. And he's Going home, right?
Yeah, going home.
That's going to be emotional and just spectacular. Congrats to their family, man. God bless y'all.
Pretty awesome. I thought when you said Captain Morgan, I said, whoa, we got the real Captain Morgan account tweeting us. I was going to put the one leg up like, hey, I'm a captain. And somebody on the watch929thegame.com almost got more than they bargained for on the video.
Because John has basketball shorts on today.
I do, but I'm not commando, so we're okay.
All right. Do you have the Rick Barry quote, Mark Owen? So we had the legendary Rick Barry on at 11 o'clock. iTunes, 929thegame.com. You can hear that entire interview. And Rick's my boy. I've known him a long time. Used to work with him. And he's one of my best buds in the business, to be honest with you. Love the dude. Love his family. And so we have him on from time to time. But all of that fluffy stuff aside, he is one of the most keep it real dudes of all time.
Right.
Okay. And what did you ask him?
So we were talking about LeBron and MJ and Wilt Chamberlain, and he was going on about all the all time greats. So I asked him, is it fair to differentiate who's the best player based on rings? Do you think rings are the number one reason to put one guy above another, or do you go full body of work?
I think it's the full body of work. The rings are a joke because that means you're lucky enough to have a general manager who actually is smart enough to give you some great players to give you a chance to win. You can't win all the time by yourself. I mean, certainly if a guy goes out and does something special without having, you know, really, you know, incredible talent on his team, you know, certainly you give him a little credit for that. But the ring itself, absolutely not. I mean, what the heck does that mean? It means that you had great teammates.
Yeah. If Rick Barry had 5 or 6 rings, and I love Rick, okay, but if he had 5 or 6 rings, he would not be saying that. He has one. And he was spectacular in winning that one in upset fashion over Washington in 1975. They shouldn't have even been in the finals. Mm-hmm. And they swept Washington, who was an extraordinary team back then. But I didn't mean to interrupt you, John, but I love Rick, but he only has one. And so he feels probably when he gets stacked up against Bird and Bird has 3, or when he gets stacked up against Magic and Magic has 5, he's probably thinking back to an old GM that he had that didn't construct the right team around him.
And I don't disagree with what Rick Barry said, not one single bit. And it's where you and I completely differentiate. And I saw your tweets over the weekend, Magic 5, LeBron 3.
Hashtag ring count.
Kobe 5, you know, LeBron 3. You can only do so much. The last I checked is a team sport. If you're playing tennis and you want to go, I have more championships than you, fine. It's an individual one-on-one sport. You want to argue Jack versus Tiger, fine. Jack won more majors. He finished second 19 times. He has the edge because it's an individual sport. When you're depending on potentially 14 other guys on your roster to do something, it's not like LeBron's going to go out or Wilt Chamberlain could go out and score 100 points, although Wilt did one time. It doesn't mean you're going to win the game. You could have 4 ham and eggers around you because your team's not put together well. I don't agree that rings should be the number one. This guy's better than this guy. If you look at raw numbers at the end of their career, Eli Manning's going to be really close to Dan Marino as far as everything, yardage and all this stuff. I take Dan Marino 100 times out of 100 over Eli Manning, and it's not even a debate.
We have debated this before, and I would rather have Eli Manning because Eli Manning performed way better in the clutch in playoff scenarios than Dan Marino did. And so we don't have to get bogged down in this again, but I would take Eli.
He also had 1 million times better defense, the 11 guys on the other side of the field, than Dan ever had in any of his career. But that's the kind of argument that you and I would have, and a lot of your siding for Eli Manning is based on 2 playoff runs.
It is. And there's also, you know, many Pro Bowls, and he's going to probably have 60,000 yards.
Dan has all that.
No, I get it, but Dan doesn't have 2 rings. Sorry, John.
And no, that just goes to our Rick Barry debate.
Sorry.
Oh, trust me, he doesn't have any rings.
So we might want to, like, spill out into a bigger conversation about this in maybe the days and weeks to come because, like, how important – maybe next week when Golden State wins, we fire this up. Like, maybe a slide. I don't know. But, like, we have reached, like, a really important debate here. How much stock do you put into the rings? I obviously put a ton of stock into it. John, you don't. And so there's people in their cars going, Cam, I'm with you. There's people in cars listening to this going, John, I'm with you. It's a good debate.
Yeah, and it's the easiest debate for a lot of people if they know their guy has more rings. And I'm not saying you in particular. I see this on social
Shaq
media.
Shaq and Charles, it certainly is.
Easy. But I'd say Shaq was a better player anyway, and that's no disrespect to Charles Barkley. Barkley was awesome. Shaq was, you could say, transcendent, and I guess Charles was as well.
Here would be my breakdown on that. I would say that Charles was a better, more versatile, more skilled player.
Sure.
But who was more dominant? Shaq. Who was more successful?
Shaq.
So, you know, and I'll just say this. I'll keep it real right now. I really believe that if Charles had taken better care of his body while he was playing, he would have at least one championship. But Charles burns it at both ends, and I think that might have hurt him a little bit.
Who was a better power forward, Charles or Karl Malone?
Whew, good question. Charles Barkley.
I agree.
Better range. He was a dime guy. He could grab a defensive rebound and pound it all the way up the floor and flush on you.
And later in life, could knock a three down.
Yeah, but you know, you could say, would Karl Malone be number two on the all-time scoring list without arguably the best point guard of all time?
Better than Magic?
No. I shouldn't have said arguably.
That's right.
Stockton is a top five point guard, but I got Magic and Isaiah 1 and 2.